As a business owner of an aquaculture company, how can you take the first step to be profitable and sustainable at the same time? That's what we're going to be talking about in this episode. Hello, and welcome to the Business of Aquaculture podcast. This is the podcast for the sustainable business movement in the aqua farming and ocean ranching industries. This podcast aims to amplify the voices of entrepreneurs addressing the United Nations Global Goals, aka Sustainable Development Goals number 14, to conserve and sustainably use the oceans and the seas. Listen in to fellow business aquaculturists in their journey in this new model of food production, of making their business sustainable and help the ocean's ecology while also making a profit all at the same time. Get inspired to learn how even small to medium businesses can make an impact to save the seas, leave a legacy, and have a better quality of life. One of our goals is you take away a nugget of wisdom that will help your business move from the Industrial Revolution to Business 5.0. Our vision is that of collaboration in the aquaculture industry. I'm Lourdes Gant, your host.
As an aquaculture company, if you're dealing with feed, this episode will deal about creating an alliance with an aquafeed producer. How do you navigate sustainability? That's what we're going to be talking about in today's episode. Welcome to the Business of Aquaculture podcast. This episode, we are happy to have Dr. Oliver Peoples, who is the CEO of Yield 10 Bioscience for growers, biofuel, and food businesses. Welcome to the show, Dr. Oliver.
Thank you, Lourdes. Great pleasure to be here.
Pleasure is all mine. They just recently signed a letter of intent with Biomar last October, a prominent global aquafeed producer, to commercialize camelina engineered to produce omega-3 oil, omega-3 camelina, which is used as a high-quality supplement to the scarce supply of marine long-chain fatty acids used in aquafeed. Over the next year, Yield 10 expects to scale up planted acres of camelina to supply Biomar with oil for formulation and testing, while also working towards securing regulatory approval for commercial production of omega-3 camelina oil and meal in the targeted production geographies. Welcome again to the show, Dr. Oliver.
Thank you.
Well, let's get this show started because I am very excited to actually talk about this camelina oil. I haven't heard about it before, so this would be a good learning session for me. So bear with me if I have questions. But let me start by saying that as an agricultural bioscience company using its differentiated trait gene discovery platform to develop improved camelina varieties for the production of seed products, Tell me and our audience, because this is really new for me, what innovative technologies or approaches do you believe have the most transformative potential in the agriculture industry over the next decade, and how is Yield 10 positioned to leverage them?
Yeah, so it's a really great question, and actually it's very timely for a couple of reasons. One, you know, there's been this sort of aversion in the aquafeed space to use of GMO technology. And yet, pretty much the entire North American soybean and South American soybean crop is based on gene technology or GMO, and it's been around and safely produced on a massive scale for essentially 30 years now. And again, tremendous record of safety. So that's the first thing. The second thing is we're sort of entering an era where there's a generational shift. Younger people are more fixated and concerned about the environment and the future of the planet than they are about some, you know, early fear-driven, somewhat misguided and shall we say abused for marketing reasons, rationales for not doing things that are basically massively improving sustainability. And that's really been the outcome of the GMO technology, particularly in the US, Canada, Brazil, Argentina, etc. Now Europe's a little different. And obviously, Europe's a bit more challenging because of the regulatory environment and the fact that you're dealing with the EU and a number of states, and every state has a different thing, and it's very political, which is not necessarily great for a regulatory thing. But what's clear is that in order to meet the demand for sustainable agriculture, one of the key things we have to do is we have to solve the problem of continuously harvesting fish from an ever-depleting resource in the ocean. Number one. Number two, we've got to just accept the fact the Earth is warming and the ocean is warming. And quite frankly, if the anchovy harvest in Peru doesn't sort of gather nicely and say, why don't you put me in a net twice a year because the currents change or the temperatures change, then that's a massive problem for the entire value chain. It's not just for the fish oil and the fish meal. It's basically for you know, salmon farming and the production of healthy salmon with healthy levels of omega-3 fatty acids in the flesh, which of course is critically important for human health and wellness. So we all want to eat more fish. We all want to eat more fish with healthy omega-3s in it because we all want to live longer, me in particular. And the big challenge, of course, is you've got a limited and dwindling supply of the resource, and as evidenced, for example, by Peru shutting down the harvest in June for the first harvest. And then, of course, the second harvest is essentially down by 25-26%. And that's in order to try to sustain that fishery over the long term. Now, there's other parts of the world where you can harvest fish. And then you look into the challenges around what's been going on around the coast of Africa and the harvest there that has driven, you know, I would say, especially if you look at ESG metrics, if you look at what's happened to these, I would say, you know, indigenous groups that live on fishing that used to be able to take out in their canoe dinghy, you know, essentially several hundred yards. And now they have to go out miles to catch something because you've got these giant vacuuming ships essentially sucking up everything to process it into meal and oil. And so that's clearly not sustainable for the long haul. And Biomar, whom you just mentioned, I mean, they've got a position on this. They're looking to do the right thing, but they're also recognizing that it needs innovation. It needs new sources of these things that can truly be sustainable and in which you can also target reducing the overall carbon footprint of producing oil and ultimately producing salmon. And so we were very fortunate to be deeply invested in producing, developing cabelina as a new industrial crop for specialty products. And so we are an advanced synthetic biology company. Hard to imagine that applying to aquafeed. But it turns out, you know, biology can make pretty much everything you need if you can use the right platform to do it in, and if you can do it safely in a way that can get through the regulations and ensure that safety is sustained, you know, throughout the product lifetime cycle. So that's all been very good. So we happen to partner with a group in the UK who's worked on this for a decade. And I would suggest you talk to him because he's so passionate about this, Professor Jonathan Napier. And Professor Napier over the years has been working to develop camelina by taking genes out of algae, which produce omega-3s, and putting them into the camelina so that the camelina oil, seed oil, actually contains high levels of EPA or EPA plus DHA. And so now you start looking at, well, how can I scale up supply? Well, I need to plant more acres. Now, that's very simple. In reality, what we have to do is we have to essentially get the technology into high-tech camelina, which Yield10 has built. We have to begin scaling it up. And we have to go through the regulatory process, working closely with partners like Biomar, to ensure that this, in fact, delivers the benefits that we believe it can over the long term. And so we are very fortunate to have the exclusive rights to that technology. And that's really what kicked this whole thing off in the last few weeks, is we exercised our exclusive right with the Rothamsted Institute. And a week or so later, we signed this LOI with Biomar. And the reason that Biomar was literally primed to do this. We were very fortunate. And they were primed to do this for a couple of reasons. One, I think the senior folks there really believe in this technology, and they've been evaluating and looking at this since basically sometime in around 2014-15, as I understand it, number one. Number two, they did all the salmon farming studies with the oil produced from the prototypes years ago, which are all published in scientific journals, indicating you take the oil from DHA1 camelina, which is one variety. It's 10% DHA, it's 10% EPA. It's kind of a perfect drop into fish oil. And guess what? The fish are the same as if you fed them fish oil. And that's ultimately what we want. The difference is we no longer have to harvest everything in the ocean, number one. Number two, you know, we can scale agriculture. Agriculture gives you two really critical things. It gives you low cost and it gives you large scale. And when you look at the salmon industry, they need both ultimately to be, you know, to be really, really attractive. And so we're very excited about this. The technology is moving forward. We are working primarily in the US in terms of development because this is where the regulations for the use of these types of technologies are highly advanced. They're based really on number one, safety. That's really what counts. It's safe. It's safe in, when you put it outside in the field, and it's safe when, in fact, you use this product in animal feed. That's number one. Number two, it's very science-based. So it's not based on opinion. It's just based on science. Is there anything there that could cause any issues? The answer is yes or no, or there may be a concern. Well, how are you going to manage that concern? So it's very science-based. So, in fact, what that means is companies like Yield 10 now have a path to develop and commercialize these in a timeline that makes sense for a commercial operation, and with relatively well, not so much really, I would say massively reduced cost compared to the past. Now, that does not mean that we can sort of, you know, breach any of these rules. We have to still focus on making sure that this value chain, which is a closed loop value chain where we contract production with growers and we contract oilseed crushing. You're very familiar with vegetable oil, soybean oil, canola oil. You know, these are all basically oil seeds. And oil is extracted. And in that case, it's going into human nutrition or in many cases, a deep fryer to make McDonald's. Not a very healthy product. But in this case, that oil is going to have levels of omega-3 fatty acids in it that are essentially identical to Northern Hemisphere fish oil. And this is why the fish oil and the fish aquafeed industry, and quite frankly, the salmon industry, is very excited about this. And I think a watershed moment also happened in June in the regulatory circumstances around this technology when Norway, the largest farm salmon producer in the world, actually approved the GM ingredient in aquafeed for the first time. And now it's a product that was produced in an engineered canola. It's going to have a place, but for maybe it's our good luck, and maybe it's Jonathan's genius. I don't really know. But fundamentally, that little camelina plant, the biology seems to be perfectly suited for making drop-in replacement for fish oil. And so that's almost the holy grail of what you're looking for in terms of sustainability. And that's before we get into the whole work, you know, the sort of body of work we're doing around double cropping, winter cropping, using this as a cover crop to further reduce carbon, to mitigate runoff into the environment. We've got a whole portfolio of technology around us. And so this thing has got enormous interest, number one, everything from the salmon farmers all the way down through the aquafeed space and others who basically take fish oil and process it to make, you know, ingredients for nutraceuticals, pharmaceuticals, cosmeceuticals. You know, so we're just feeling extremely pleased about the decision we made a few years ago. And we're extremely proud of the relationship we built with Jonathan. And we're massively excited about commercializing this.
That sounds wonderful. And so for those of you who don't know this, so what exactly they're doing is producing omega-3 oil in camelina, which represents a land-based way to make this key aquafeed ingredient a crucial step as the aquaculture industry faces obstacles of overfishing, like what you mentioned. So my next question then goes to, as you know, agriculture and aquaculture faces significant challenges related to sustainability, resource scarcity, and food security. How does Yield 10 address these global challenges through its products or services, and what impact do you hope to achieve? I know you mentioned some of them already.
Yes, well, I think what we'll do is, first and foremost, there's just not enough fish in the sea to solve this problem by harvesting, number one. Number two, if we continue to harvest fish simply because, that basically means that the other fish that humans consume directly, are going to be impacted, right? And so there's 3 or 4 billion people who rely primarily on seafood as their primary protein source. You know, so we've got to keep in mind that there's other uses and other parts of the ecosystem in the ocean that need to be supplied with feedstocks and food, you know, in the form of anchovies. Never, you know, so the small fish eat the algae, the fish, small fish can eat, but eventually you harvest a tuna, right? Very tasty thing, or a salmon, and that's great. So what you've got to recognize is that, you know, farmed production of seafood is absolutely critical to feed the growing global population. And products like essentially farmed salmon are critical not only to provide a high quality and very tasty protein source, but also to provide sources of these essential omega-3 fatty acids. The key is we need to separate the production of farmed salmon from this ocean harvesting, number one. And we need to expand production of omega-3s, so in fact we can sustain the levels of aquaculture we have today with increasing levels of omega-3 fatty acids, because that does improve the production, because it reduces inflammation, has impacts on the health and wellness of the fish in the production system, number one. And number two, it's better to have higher levels of omega-3 in the fillet of salmon, right, or your piece of sushi. Because ultimately, the way the industry manages this is you just use less and less and less. And eventually, because it's well studied and well understood, omega-3s are really important for the health and wellness of the fish, you kind of get to the point where you're getting to a crunch point and you can't really go any further. So first of all, there's that aspect. The second of all, the co-product from processing camelina to extract the omega-3 oil is a high-quality protein. And the other piece of the aquaculture space is a new protein source that can be optimized using advanced genetic technologies, like, you know, basically what Yield 10 does routinely, to make those almost an ideal feed also for aquaculture. So I think what's happened is new technologies, the regulatory environment in the US, at least, is very favorable. And we see Canada's going the same way, a lot of Argentina, they're all going the same way. What we see is a way to sort of use all the tools that have been developed over the last 30 years in ag biotechnology to really provide sustainable solutions for aquaculture to enable its growth and to improve its sustainability and to really benefit it across the ESG metrics, everything from folks who rely on harvesting fish for their basic protein, as well as the industry as a whole. So it's a fantastic story. I'm very proud of Mr. Jonathan.
It's an amazing story. I think more and more companies need to be able to realize this as well, which leads me to my next question, because you guys are really way ahead in terms of innovation, so which often requires collaboration, as you all know, and across various industries and sectors. So maybe other than Biomark, can you share examples of successful partnerships or collaborations your company has engaged in to accelerate adoption of agtech solutions, and what lessons have you learned from these experiences?
Well, we've worked quite extensively with the major seed players, and there's been announcements of those. We've worked with Bayer, for example, on testing. You know, we are very interested in using genetic gene traits and essentially genetic changes that can be used to improve the productivity of a particular crop, right? So you get a higher yield for the same or less input, which of course ties directly into sustainability, right? Number one. And number two, you know, one thing we should all understand is we're not making any new arable land. We're making less because we're expanding infrastructure. And so we literally have to do more with less. So I think those relationships allowed us to get our technologies evaluated by these companies we did it in a very straightforward way, which we said, you try it, if you like it, we'll talk about a license to it. So one of the challenges with a number of companies, and where Yield 10 I think excels, is when it comes to open innovation, we actually understand the meaning of the word open. It's not kind of a buzzword for us. It's like, yeah, we'll work with you. Let's figure out how to do this, and let's figure out how to make progress. And if the progress is as valuable as we think it's going to be, reasonable people will find a way to share it. You know, so we have a pretty open approach to this. Now, we're also working with GDM, Big South American Soybean Seed Co. That's still ongoing. We've worked with Simplot, which is a potato company. It's common knowledge, but they're very actively involved in strategic partnering discussions with folks in the biofuel space, you know, for basically sustainable aviation fuel in particular. And so taking vegetable oil from winter cover crops as a new source of vegetable oil, which is not currently in the food chain, and converting it into sustainable aviation fuel, that actually addresses another issue for salmon, which is a lot of it's air freighted from Norway to North America. And obviously, there's a carbon impact of air freighting it with petroleum. And so you can mitigate some of that as well. So, you know, we've worked with a range of companies. We are hoping to, you know, solidify this relationship with Biomar, the great company. Very visionary. I think they've got a really interesting approach to the whole space, number one. And number two, they clearly really like this product. and they know it because they've worked with it. But they're very interesting company and exciting company to work with. So we hope we can bring this to a very to a wonderful long-term working relationship for both of us, where we both benefit. And so that's what we're working on.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Oliver. The biggest takeaway I had from our conversation today was 3S, actually. There's 3S that floated in my mind when you were talking with all of this about sustainability, obviously about Camelina. It's being safe, science-based, and it's almost like a symbiotic relationship with, you know, aquafeed, aquaculture, ag tech, agriculture. So thank you for sharing your knowledge today. How can they get in touch with you?
So I think first of all, I'd say it's definitely 3S. It's safe, it's science-based, and it's sustainable. But they can get touch with us at yield10bioscience.com, yield10bio.com. And we'd be delighted to hear from them and always happy to respond.
I really enjoyed actually looking at your website. It's very, very good. So you guys go ahead and check that out, yield10bio.com. Please remember to review the show and see you next week. Remember, you help build a home in the Philippines every time we launch an episode on the podcast. Thanks, Dr. Oliver. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. You take care.
Bye now.
Thank you for listening, and I hope you are inspired from this episode. Do take a moment and share this with your friends and colleagues and rate and review the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. I'd love to know what your biggest takeaway from this conversation has been. What are you going to do differently? Please share your thoughts across social media and tag us. For links and show notes for this episode, visit our website, www.sustainableaquaculture.ca/podcast. Thank you again. I hope you will join me on the next episode, and together we can help create a better business in aquaculture.